Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord over comments. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's another privilege to be in the presence of God. Let's just have a word of prayer before we begin sharing the word of God this hour. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you praise and give you honor because you are who you are. And we're grateful to you for the privilege to serve you wherever we are. We pray, Lord God, that your word will come to us with power this hour. We pray in the name of Jesus. For the Bible says that your word, you sent your word and it brought healing. So let your word bring healing, let it bring encouragement, let it bring deliverance, let it bring hope, let it bring strength unto your people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. It's a wonderful privilege to fellowship in this manner today. And I just want to give God the praise for another privilege to share the word of God with you. And I know that God is keeping you, and I know that he will yet keep you and your family in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to also remind us that in this day and age, it's a lot easier for us to get distracted. It's easier for us to get sidetracked. So I want us to be conscious and be focused on what we're believing God for, and not allow the things that are happening around us to be a distraction to us. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to the news. I'm not saying that you should not use your common sense like we've been sharing. I'm saying also that you want to control what you allow to influence you. Let what you're believing God for be your focus. Let what you're praying for be your focus. Let what you're asking God to do for you be your focus. Pay attention to what has been said, but don't let that influence you. Be influenced by the word of God. And also remember that as a church, this is a season that we should be celebrating our anniversary. Yes, the celebration is not happening now, but we can reflect on what God has done for us. We can reflect on our spiritual growth. We can reflect on how God has kept us. Those things we can thank God for. So take the time this season to thank God for what he has kept you, for what he has done for you, for your spiritual growth, and all the blessings that you have received. And again, we also need to remember that this is Easter season. We'll be celebrating Easter in a few weeks, maybe another 2 weeks or so from now. So let's not allow the dominant news of coronavirus and all of that to distract us from this very important event on the Christian calendar. Take some time to begin to read the Word of God. Read the epistles. Read the Gospels. And look at the things that Jesus did, especially this season. Meditate on them. Pray over them. Discuss them. Teach them to your young children. Discuss them as a family so that you can be preparing your mind towards the celebration of that great event when it comes in a few weeks. And by the grace of God, in a few teachings following this, we'll be focusing on Easter and the power that the Lord brought to us through the work that Jesus did on the cross. Before we delve into the Word of God, I want to remind you again about our covenant commitment. It's important that we stay focused on our covenant commitment to support God's Word, so that the work of God can keep growing. Amen. So give your support, give your financial gift, give your offering, give your tithes on Cash App and on our Facebook page, on our church page, excuse me, and on our, PayPal and all the other places. Please also contact the financial committee. They are willing to pick that up even without any charge. Amen. Of course, you know, they're not supposed to charge you, but they're willing to do a home run so that they can come and pick those things up. Now, today I want to focus very briefly on a subject that I've titled, Taking Possession of Your Promises. Taking possession of your promises. Making God's promises yours. It's very important, both in this day and generally as a child of God, for us to know what promises God has for us and for us to make them our own. Here is the dictionary definition of promise. The dictionary says a promise is a declaration that something will be done or will be given. I repeat that. It's a declaration that something will be done or that something will be given. Another definition, the same dictionary says, a promise is an express assurance on which expectation is to be based. An express assurance on which expectation is to be based. So what is your assurance? Is the promises of God. I want to discuss that very briefly under three subheadings. Number one, I want to look at God's promises to his people. I'm just going to read a few of those to you. And I also want to look at God's people who claim God's promises or who actualize God's promises or who make God's promises their own. And I pray that you be among those that will make God's promises yours. And finally, I will touch on the blessings or what I call the power of taking possession of God's promises. So if you're ready, let's dive in quickly. Number one, God's promises to his people. I just highlighted a few. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10 says this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So if there's fear, if there's worry, if you need strength, that's a promise you can stand on. And the scripture also tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. So you can stand on that in this day and in this age where there's a lot that is going on. Don't be weary. Don't be discouraged. You can stand on God's promises. Isaiah 43 says this, beginning from verse number 2. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So we can go on and on looking at so many promises. Let me read a familiar one to you in Psalm 121. The scripture says, beginning from verse number 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shepherd at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time and even forevermore. Somebody say aloud, amen. So there are so many promises that God has for you. Friend, look for them in the Word. Look at your situation, whatever that is, and take a promise of God and stand on it. Remember, we talked about the fact that you don't need to just ask God to bless me, God bless me. That's a good general prayer, but you want to be specific and find a promise tied to that blessing that you're asking for and take possession of it. Make it yours and it become a reality in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number two, quickly, let's look at some people in the scripture that took possession of God's promises. The obvious I want to start with is Caleb, which is from our main scripture today, and that is in the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. When you have time, read it from verse number 6 all the way to the end. But we don't have all that time, so I'm just going to point out a few of the scriptures for you. Caleb was one of those people that took possession of the promises of God for him. I want to read for you from verse number 10, Joshua chapter 14. Here we go. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spoke his word
unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, Lord, I am this day 85 years old. Verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Verse number 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Beautiful story that reminds us of somebody who took possession of his promise. Friend, what has God promised you? What are you believing God for? What are you standing on? Is he a change of story? Is he a healing situation? Is he a breakthrough in your profession? Is he a salvation that you're asking for somebody? Whatever those things are, find a promise from the Word of God and keep standing on it. Let's learn a few things from Caleb. Number one, the scripture tells us that Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. He served God with all his heart. You're pursuing a promise from God, do it with all your heart. Serve God with all your heart. Number two, it is also clear that Caleb did not allow age or time lapse to discourage him. Some of the promises you might have been praying and believing for might not have happened yet. Maybe you waited for a year, you waited for 2 years, or maybe for a longer time. Friends, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Caleb waited for 40 years. He did not forget his promise. Friends, the God who promises never forget. The scripture just told us in Psalm 121 that God does not slumber, he does not sleep, he does not forget what he had promised. Amen. And finally, can we learn this also? That Caleb understood that the promises were not going to fall on his laps. What do I mean by that? Caleb understood that the fact that God has promised it doesn't mean he doesn't have to do anything to earn it. He said, I'm willing to fight for it. He said, give me this mountain. I want to go and conquer. Promises are like packages. Like I was touching before, you know, about a few days ago. Promises are like a package that you need. Somebody want to give it to you. It's written your name on it. It's written your address on it. He has paid whatever it takes to move it from point A to point B. But guess what? The package will not move itself. Somebody has to move it. If it is mail, a mail carrier has to carry it. If it is shipped via Amazon or any of those agents, they have to carry it from one place to the other. In a similar way, friends, your faith needs to carry your promise. Your belief needs to carry your promise. Your service will carry your promise. You need to stand on God's word until your promises arrive. And I declare in the name of Jesus that your promise shall arrive, and it shall arrive on time in the name of Jesus. Think about a man like Zechariah. You know the story in Luke chapter 1. I will not read it. But beginning from verse number 6 going forward, the scripture tells us who Zechariah was. He was a priest, an old man, served God all his life, but had no child. But guess what? One day while he was serving, an angel showed up and reminded him, promised him a child. And the scripture told us what happened. Now he had a question for the angel, and the angel said, well, because you asked that question, you are not going to be able to speak until your child is born. But John the Baptist was eventually born. And the scripture told us there was a celebration when John the Baptist was born. John became the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Beautiful passage of scripture. That same passage also told us of another person who God had promised, and her name was Mary. You remember Mary? Mary was a young lady that an angel visited and told her she was going to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And the story told us, Mary said, "How can this happen?" And the angel said, "The Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and that which you are going to carry in your womb will be the Holy One, the Son of the living God." Mary said, "Let it be done unto me. I am the servant of the Lord." I'm paraphrasing now. And the scripture says, it came to pass. This story is right there in Luke chapter number 1. So it's important that you notice that over the years, Zechariah stayed faithful. Over the years, Elizabeth, his wife, stayed with him. They kept serving. Some people stop serving God because their promises haven't come yet. They've been asking God for something, maybe for a year, maybe for 2 years. And guess what they do? They quit. Don't quit on your promise. Don't quit believing God. Don't quit praying, because your promise shall not fail in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to go on and on looking at many others that did the same thing. How about Abraham? Almost everyone who reads the Bible knows the story of Father Abraham, how God promised him that he was going to be the father of nations. Let me read part of that story for you in Genesis chapter number 17, beginning from verse number 19. The scripture says, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Genesis 17 and verse 21. "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time in the next year." Amen. Hear me, friends. This was the second time almost, or even the third, that God repeated that. But this was the time that God put a time, set time on that promise being fulfilled. Abraham was 75 years old when this whole thing started. But Abraham didn't give up. How did Abraham possess his promise? Romans chapter 4 tells us a little bit. I'll read a few verses to you. Romans 4, beginning from verse 18. The scripture says, "Abraham, against all hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Watch what verse 21 said. It said, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Amen. So Abraham is another person, and you can be another person. I believe that very soon you also be giving testimony. Somebody will be hearing your story, how you stood on God's word, how God came true for you, and God will come true for you in the name of Jesus. Finally, very briefly, let me summarize. How does possessing your blessing become a blessing to somebody else? What is the power of that? 4 things quickly. Number 1, when you realize your blessing, when God answers your prayer, when you stand on the promises, number 1, goals are accomplished. You see, Caleb had a desire to have a land, but that did not happen until he fought and claimed that land. So your goal shall be accomplished. Your goal shall not be aborted in the name of Jesus. Stay focused and keep praying. Number 2, when you receive your blessing, great blessings are released upon you. Caleb was not able to give his children and grandchildren something, because that which he waited for finally reached his hand. That which you are waiting for, in the name of Jesus, no matter how old you are, no matter how long it is, no matter how large that thing is, if God promised it to you, God will not disappoint you. You'll be able to be a blessing to your generation in the name of Jesus. Next, good examples are set when promises are fulfilled. Which means somebody can look at your life and say, God did it for you, then he can do it for me. You can be an encouragement. You can be a good example to somebody else. And I declare in the name of Jesus that your life shall be a testimony. You'll be a good example. You'll be an inspiration to somebody else in the name of Jesus. Finally, when promises are fulfilled, God is glorified. The word of God tells us that he desires to answer our prayer so that he can be glorified. God's name will be glorified in your life, in your situation. It will turn your story around so that his name can be glorified in the name of Jesus. So friends, stand on the promises of God. Claim them. Stay with it. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distracted because God will not fail in the name of Jesus. So let's pray quickly together. Now think of what you're asking God for. Think of what you're believing God for. You might not remember all of it now, but at least start with one. And then we can agree together. If you don't know Jesus, guess what? Today's another time for you to give your life to Jesus. Come into a relationship with him. Then you can enter into this covenant that is meant for God's children. And God will definitely start with you even today. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for every one of your children who's believing you for something, whatever those things are, as they line up with your will and line up with your word, I declare every obstacle removed in the name of Jesus. That as you did for Caleb, as you did, oh God Almighty, for Abraham, as you did for Mary, as you did for Elizabeth, as you did for all that saints, scripture, do it for your people, even in this day and age, because you are the same God forever and forever. Take all the glory and take all the honor. Lord, I pray a covering over your people, that no matter what is going around, according to your word, we shall not be affected by it. We will see it, but it shall not affect us. We are protected and preserved. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say, Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.